the 25th story, The Escape Through the Sea. Now the great opportunity had come. The call was sounded. The central starting point for the great march was at Ramesses. Once outside of Egypt, Israel might be free. For a long time, preparations had been quietly going on. Now they moved in great companies, a vast horde of people coming from various parts of the Delta. There were herdsmen from Goshen, citizens from Heliopolis, and slaves from many cities and strongholds. It was a mixed multitude who went out. Many who were not Israelites joined in the great migration. Interest was aroused in the new venture. The company spread like an Arab encampment over a distance of many miles. We shall follow the main line of march, but probably there were many smaller divisions coming from various directions. Moses had planned this main line of escape. He knew well the different routes from Egypt to the wilderness. He had traveled this way twice and had spent many days all through the region, and his old training in Egypt as a leader of men helped him now to be the great chief of this large body of people. At this time they were not an organized army, but for the larger part an untrained, restless, excitable mob of slaves. A choice of two routes was before the Israelites. One, the way of the Philistines, ran to the north and along by the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. That led directly to Canaan, but Egyptians guarded the road and might attack the fugitives at any point. And at the farther end, the Philistines stood ready to oppose any advance. To try to escape by that route was too dangerous. So the Israelites chose the way of the Red Sea, the highway which was a caravan route leading into the desert of Arabia, of which the wilderness of Sinai was a part. The first day's journey brought them to a resting place called Succoth. This name means booths or tents, and it may have been simply a camping ground where they spent the night. As they journeyed, they saw a pillar of cloud in front of them by day and a pillar of fire to give them light by night. This was to be a sign to them that God would be their guide and lead them in the way. It was the custom for leaders of caravans to go in front. It was the custom for leaders of caravans to go in front holding a brazier on the end of a long pole. In the brazier were smoking coals from which a column or pillar of smoke would continually rise. But God gave to the Israelites a guide that needed no brazier or coals, for the pillar of fire glowed by night and the pillar of cloud led by day. In the clear light of the desert, it could be seen for many miles and became a sign to the people of God's protecting care. Whenever they grew discouraged, they could look to the pillar of cloud or to the light from the pillar of fire and be reminded of his presence. Moses found it best after reaching Etham to turn back toward the south. So the Israelites encamped by the Red Sea near the Isthmus of Suez. Suddenly, they heard that Pharaoh and his army were in pursuit of them. Pharaoh had been told that they had fled, that they did not mean to return, and he wished he had not let them go. "How do we know," said he and his officers, "that the pestilence came because of the children of Israel? Now nobody is left to haul stone, to make bricks, and to build up our fortifications." The people were terrified at what they saw in the distance. Pharaoh's army of 600 chariots and horsemen were following in their tracks and coming upon them from the north. Eastward was the sea. On the west and south were impassable mountains. No escape seemed possible. In a tone of ridicule, they turned upon Moses and said, "Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness because there were no graves in Egypt?" This, you know, was spoken of as the land of tombs. "Why didst thou bring us forth out of Egypt? Did we not say, 'Let us alone, for it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness?'" But Moses was not daunted by these words. He addressed all the people, saying, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today. The Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see no more forever. Jehovah will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." The Israelites were greatly afraid, for they had not yet come to know God's power. So Jehovah in his kindness relieved their fears by removing the pillar of cloud, which was to lead them through the wilderness journey, from before them, and placed it so that they could no longer see the enemy. All night God caused a strong east wind to blow, and the people, not knowing how deliverance was to come to them, saw the waters recede until the sea was made dry land where the waters were divided, and they saw the waters as a wall on either side. Then God spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." In the darkness of the night they went, and they passed safely over, while the waters on either side were as a wall or means of protection to them. It took some hours for the thousands of people to reach the other bank, and as morning broke, the Egyptians followed in hot pursuit. The horsemen with their chariots went into this path through the sea, but in the soft, wet sand of the seabed, the wheels of the chariots sunk deeper and deeper, and they moved slowly and heavily and cried out, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them." As daylight came, God caused the wind to turn, and as it blew from the west, the waters rushed back and overwhelmed the Egyptians. The horsemen and their horses were drowned in the sea. Thus the Israelites saw fulfilled the promise that they should see their enemy no more, and they feared the Lord and believed him. Their faith in Moses as their leader was also increased. This is a strange and wonderful story, but we know that the mighty Jehovah who made the sea and caused the winds to blow has power to command them to do his will. It is not the only time that God used the wind in working out his purpose for his people. It was not a setting aside of those forces which he made to govern the wind and waves, and which we call the laws of nature, but the using of these laws to do his work. Since the time when God in his way drove back the sea that his people might pass over in safety, and by causing the wind to turn, destroyed the Egyptians, other men have been allowed to see the same wonderful working of the winds and to know something of the way in which he provided this path of safety. Monsieur de Lesseps, the famous engineer, said that he had seen the upper end of the Red Sea blown almost dry and again the waters driven far over the land. So it was that he blew with his winds and they were scattered, and in the early morning the Israelites saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. At last, the Israelites were free. Imagine the groups of men and women watching the rolling water. How excited the multitude of people were as they talked of the events of the night and of what they had seen and felt. They were safely on the other side, and their enemies lay dead before them. There was hope now of their reaching the land flowing with milk and honey, which had been promised to their forefathers. On leaving Egypt, Moses had taken with them the bones of Joseph. You remember how he had made his kinsmen promise that this should be done, and the word of Joseph, "God shall surely bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence," was passed down from father to son through all the years. The people were full of joy for their deliverance, and Moses and his sister Miriam led them in a song of victory and thanksgiving. Altogether they took up the words, "I will sing unto Jehovah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Jehovah is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Then the men sang, "Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea, and his chosen captains are sunk in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone." And Miriam with her timbrel led the women in the refrain, "Sing ye to Jehovah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Then the men took up the song, "Thy right hand, O Jehovah, is glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Jehovah, dasheth in pieces the enemy, and in the greatness of thine excellency thou overthrowest them that rise up against thee. Again the women came in with the refrain, Sing ye to Jehovah, and the men followed with, Who is like unto thee, O Jehovah, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy loving kindness hast led the people that thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength to thy holy habitation. All the inhabitants of Canaan are melted away. Terror and dread falleth upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they are as still as stone. Till thy people pass over, O Jehovah, till the people pass over that thou hast purchased, thou wilt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, the place, O Jehovah, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in, the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Jehovah shall reign for ever and ever. Long years after, when men heard this story, one of our poets wrote these beautiful lines. Sound the loud timbrel o'er Egypt's dark sea. Jehovah has triumphed. His people are free. Sing, for the pride of the tyrant is broken. His chariots, his horsemen, all splendid and brave. How vain was their boasting. The Lord hath but spoken, and chariots and horsemen are sunk in the waves. Sound the loud timbrel o'er Egypt's dark sea. Jehovah has triumphed. His people are free. Praise to the conqueror, praise to the Lord. His word was an arrow, his breath was our sword. Who shall return to tell Egypt the story of those she sent forth in the hour of her pride? For the Lord hath looked out from his pillar of glory, and all her brave thousands are dashed in the tide. Sound the loud timbrel o'er Egypt's dark sea. Jehovah has triumphed. His people are free.